Again, it's good to be in the Lord's house with you today. And I truly sense the Lord is here. And I was very encouraged by the worship this morning. Sister Caitlin started off singing songs about freedom and stressing the word freedom. And it was just a confirmation to my heart that I believe I have the mind of the Lord this morning. I want to talk to you about freedom from fear of the Saul generation. Freedom from fear of the Saul generation. I want you to go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16, I'm going to begin at verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him who I name unto thee. And Samuel did which the Lord spoke, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peacefully? And he said, peacefully, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looks on the outward appearance, but I, the Lord, look on the heart. Look with me at verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now I want to look at one verse in chapter 17. Go with me to chapter 17. And we're going to look at verse 51. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Amen. Turn with me again back to chapter 16 and let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this word that you put in my heart. God, this is a chapter that you've spoken to me a few times, just putting a personal call in my heart. And God, you've stirred it up in my heart again. Lord, you've caused me to see something about Saul and something what he represents in our generation, God. And Lord, today I thank you, Lord, that you're going to send people out strengthened in the strength of the Lord, and encouraged in the grace of God. And Lord, everything that you're doing in our life, we just thank you for it, and we glorify you for it, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just say that recently I've been really thinking about the generation that we're living in, and what the young people of our generation are facing today. You know, the culture that we're living in has never been so dark, it's never been so sinful, and it's never been so wicked. Today we're living in a culture where anything goes. All you have to do is turn on the television on any given night and flip through the channels, and you come to find out very quickly that there's no restraint to wickedness. And I've really been thinking about the incredible pressure that the young people of our generation are under. That in every facet of their life, sin is being pushed on them, and sin is being pushed on them, and sin is being pushed on them. Everything from education to the entertainment world, wickedness is being pressed upon their mind and pressed upon their mind. You know, Satan's power over a generation has never been so strong. Our culture is so demonically infused, and Satan desires to use the wickedness of our culture to shape the lives and shape the minds of people. Listen, the absolute wickedness of our culture is literally Satan's hands reaching into the lives of people and shaping their minds and shaping their lives and ultimately wrapping them in chains of sin and bondage and destruction. Beloved, listen, there's something that the world refuses to see because they don't want to see it. There's something that the world is purposely blinding itself to because it's so driven and enslaved by its own lust, and it doesn't want to see it. And what it's refusing to see is this: the more wicked a society becomes, the more destructive it becomes. Teenage suicide skyrockets. Hordes of people are thrust into destructive addictions. Marriages crumble like castles made of sand. Human life loses more and more of its value until violent crimes and school shootings are off the chart. And because the world refuses to diagnose the problem as sin, Satan's grip gets stronger and stronger in every generation, and his destruction gets stronger and stronger. And let me just say right here, I'm so thankful to the Lord that in our generation, there is a remnant of young people who have a hunger and a thirst for God. And I'm very thankful to the Lord that there is a remnant of young people that have a desire to make a difference. And yet something is breeding in many of their hearts, and that is a fear and anxiety of one day succumbing to the darkness of our culture. One day not being able to stand under the pressure and the temptation and the pull of the darkness. Many young people are experiencing an ever-increasing anxiety in their hearts, and they're beginning to ask questions like these: how do I know that one day I won't fall into temptation and give in to the power of the enemy? How do I know that one day I won't be pulled in and consumed by the darkness of the culture I'm living in? Listen, beloved, many young people today have been saved out of a life of gross sin. I can't begin to tell you how many young people I have talked to that have, when they were teenagers, they had access to pornography, whether it was through videos or pay-per-view cable channels or the internet. They've had access to pornography, and at ages 13 and 14, they became slaves and they became captivated to pornography. And even now that they're saved, they still struggle with it. And inside of them, there's a deeply entrenched fear that one day I'm going to succumb to it again. And one day the perverseness of this culture and of this society and the perverseness of immorality, it's going to come in like a giant snake and swallow me up. I've heard that in people's hearts, and there is just this ever-increasing fear in the lives of many young people. But brothers and sisters, as I was thinking about this all, God put a word in my spirit, and I want to share it with you. So I want you to look with me at 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over thee? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a son among his sons, a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. So we see in this story that Samuel is mourning over King Saul. God has wholly rejected Saul because Saul has wholly rebelled against the Lord. And it's in this time of mourning over Saul that God comes to Samuel and he says, it's time to quit mourning for Saul. You know, I know it's a tragedy, But we have to put a plan in action now if there's going to be hope for my people. We have to move forward from this if there's going to be hope for my people. So what I want you to do is I want you to go to Bethlehem because I provided me a new king there. He's a king that loves God. He's a king that loves the word of God. He's a king that loves to worship God. And I want you to anoint him to be the soon and coming king. And verse 2 tells us that suddenly Samuel becomes greatly afraid of Saul. His focus is suddenly upon Saul, and he has a fear in his heart that overtakes him. And that fear is simply this. Listen, if I go, Saul's going to kill me. And here's what I want us to understand, and I really want you to capture this because here is the very heart of the message. In this story, Saul represents a generation that is walking further and further away from God. Saul represents a generation that is swiftly putting itself more and more under the power of the enemy. Saul represents a generation that so refuses to see its condition, it's plunging more and more into a reprobate mind where it can no longer discern what is right and what is wicked. Listen, all these things describe King Saul. King Saul is becoming all these things. And in this story, King Saul represents a generation that have become these things. And here you see Samuel is living in fear of Saul, and it so represents a people who the word of God is with, but yet they're living in fear of that Saul generation. But beloved, here's the good news. For his people, especially his young people, God has a word for those living in fear to the Saul generation. God has a word for those living in anxiety to this generation that is rapidly propelling more and more into darkness and giving itself more and more to the power of the enemy. God has a word for that generation. And you find it actually in verses 2 through 5. So look with me at verses 2 through 5. And Samuel said, "How can I go if Saul hear it? He will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I've named unto thee." And Samuel did which the Lord spoke, and he came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Comest thou peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." So he says, "Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." So Samuel suddenly gets his focus on Saul, and he finds himself living in fear of Saul. And what does the Lord tell him to do? He says, "I want you to go to Bethlehem, and I want you to offer a sacrifice." And I love what's when Samuel finally gets to Bethlehem, I love what he says to the elders. In other words, I love what he says to those who are supposed to be pillars of strength in the house of God. He says to the elders, he says to the pillars of strength in the house of God, "I want you to come with me to the sacrifice." And beloved, in other words, this is what he's saying. Listen, as new covenant believers, we know what the sacrifice represents. The sacrifice represents the cross. And what he's saying to that people that's living in fear of that Saul generation, that depraved generation, that's just giving itself more and more to the powers of darkness, what God is saying to his people is simply this: "I want you to come with me to the cross." In other words, what he's saying is, you need to shift your focus. You are in the wrong place, focused on the wrong thing. What you need to do is you need to leave this place of fear. You need to leave this place of anxiety. And one more time, put your eyes back on the cross. That's what he's saying. He's saying one more time, you need to fix your focus. You need to fix your faith. You need to fix your trust back in the power of the cross. And I'm telling you, if there's something in your heart, that if you're looking at that culture out there, at how powerful it looks, at how dark it looks, if you're looking at your past and the background that God has taken you out of, and you're still living in fear of your past, God is saying you are in the wrong place, focused on the wrong thing, and you need to get up, you need to come over here to Calvary, and one more time, fix your eyes on the cross. Beloved, just like David, in his generation, on the cross, Jesus took the head off of every giant you will ever face in your generation. And the grace that flows down from the cross into your life is sufficient to stand in victory and overcome every headless giant in your generation. And if we're still living in fear of our past and still looking at how powerful that culture it is with all of its immorality and perversion and pornography, all these things, God is saying, you are in the wrong place looking at the wrong thing. You need to come over here back to Calvary because on the cross, Jesus took its head off. He took its head off. I love the order of 1 Samuel 16. It's first the sacrifice and then the anointing upon David. And what that tells us is simply this. All of God's graces in our life flows down from the cross. And the grace that flows down from the cross is sufficient to stand in victory over every giant you will face out there. Amen. You don't amen me, I'll amen myself. That's good preaching, Pastor Tim. Amen. You know, when I think about being headless, I can't help but think of headless Dagon bowing to the Ark of the Covenant where the blood was poured out for God's people. The Bible says this idol Dagon fell before the Ark of the Covenant with his head and hands chopped off. Beloved, on the cross, Jesus chopped off the devil's head and his hands. In other words, his voice and his lies no longer have power to shape your mind. And his hands, which represent his strength, no longer have the power to mold your life. The grace that flows down from the cross into your life is sufficient to stand and live in victory over every headless, handless giant that tries to stand before you. Amen. But see, here's the question. Then where is all the fear coming from? When we are living in fear of the Saul generation, that depraved generation that's giving itself more and more to the power of the enemy, where is the fear coming from? Well, we find it right here in our story. Look with me at chapter 16. Look with me at verse 6 and 7. And it came to pass when they were come that Samuel looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on his height or on his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So in this story, listen, if Samuel can make this mistake, any believer can make this mistake. If Samuel can begin to move in this direction, any believer can begin to move in this direction. So the question we have to ask in our story is, what was Samuel's mistake? Well, his mistake was this. He looked at how tall Eliab was. And he looked at how muscular Eliab was. And he looked at how physically strong and powerful Eliab was. And he came to this conclusion. Wow, this is impressive. This physical man, this physical strength is so impressive. Surely this is what is the Lord's anointed. In other words, he's looking at this man of powerful strength and he's beginning to say in his heart, surely this is what God chooses to anoint. Surely this is what God chooses to pour his spirit out upon. Surely this is what God chooses to bestow his favor and blessing upon. And beloved, listen. Fear finds a breeding place in our hearts when somewhere we are looking to our own human strength. That's where it comes from. Somewhere we are believing that I have to be stronger than the darkness. I have to be stronger than the flesh. I have to be stronger than the enemy. And there's a despair deep down within us because we know our own strength is no match for the enemy and our own strength is no match for the flesh. And I'm telling you, listen, if there's still this apprehension and this anxiety in my heart, That one day I'm going to be sucked into the darkness and the pull and the power and the temptation of that world, and it's going to consume me. It's because somewhere you're still looking at your own strength. But God is saying to us today, it's not about your strength. It's never been about your strength. It's about grace. You don't have to be stronger than the darkness. You don't have to be stronger than the flesh. You don't have to be stronger than the enemy. If you could do it in your strength, you wouldn't need grace. But God be praised, His grace is available to you. And where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. I'm telling you, when David picked up that rock and put it in that sling and started slinging that sling, he didn't start trusting in the muscle that was in that little arm. There was an anointing upon his life. And he said, killing that giant has nothing to do with that little muscle that's in my arm. It has everything to do with the Holy Ghost coming upon that rock and knocking his head off. That's what God is saying to you. It has standing in this hour, in this generation, against the giants that are out there in this generation, has nothing to do with your strength. In fact, you will not begin to stand until you realize how powerless your strength is. It simply has to do with the grace that flows down to the cross in your life. And you stand by grace alone. Amen. Beloved, God is declaring to us today, just like David in his generation, when Jesus died and rose again, he cut the head off of every generational giant you will face. And he boldly declares to you today, in your generation, you will stand in victory over every giant, but not in your strength, but in the power of grace. Amen. You know, when I was first saved, I came out of a life of gross sin. There are things I would never tell you, and there are things I pray to God you'd never find out. It's no surprise where depravity can take a man when he gives himself over to sin. And I have to be honest with you, those early years as a Christian, I fail. I fail a few times. In fact, I fail a few times. And I'm not proud to say that. But yet God would keep coming in my heart and encouraging me and saying, Tim, I see your heart. I don't look one outward appearance. I see your heart. And I know you love me. And I know you desire freedom. And I know you desire to serve me in your generation. And Tim, I'm encouraging you. Get up. Let's keep walking. And you know what? I found out it didn't take me long at all when I started walking in victory over things that used to captivate my life. And then when I came to Summit, I was saved a couple years, and then I came to Mount Zion, now called Summit. And in those years here as a student, God did a deep work in my life. I didn't always see it, didn't always believe it, that it was a deep work. But God was faithful to do it. And in my third year here, I found out that I was going to go spend 11 months in New York City, in Isaiah House, working in a drug program. And listen, when I found out I was going to New York City for 11 months, I felt that fear coming up in my heart again, because I have heard about the wickedness of the city. And a fear came into my heart again, and I began to ask questions like, can I stand for a year in this place? For a whole year, can I stand in the absolute wickedness of this city in the strength of God? Or am I going to fall again into the same old sin God brought me out of? Am I going to find myself overtaken and overpowered again by the same old sin that God took me out of? But God began to encourage my heart. He said, Tim, I want you to trust the work that I've done in your life. Trust it. So I went to New York, and I found out very quickly, I can stand in this place. There is a strength in the Lord that I have that I can stand in this place. And with the men in the program, they assigned me a course to teach the men. And the course was on the kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom of God? And I remember a day there were some men in the house as I was teaching the course on the kingdom of God. And they began to say, "We don't see the kingdom of God. Where's the kingdom of God? Every day when we walk up 8th Avenue to 51st Street to go to church, we don't see the kingdom of God. All we see is drug pushers on the corner." Listen, this was about 15 years ago. And if you knew 8th Avenue 15 years ago, you know what I'm talking about. I'm sure there's some New Yorkers here who know what I'm talking about. On every corner, there's drug pushers going, "Smoke, smoke, coke, coke. Smoke, smoke, coke, coke." They say, we don't see the kingdom of God. All we see is drug pushers telling us, "Smoke, smoke, coke, coke." All we see is porno theaters and peep shows and all these kind of things. We don't see the kingdom of God. You're trying to teach us about the kingdom of God. Where's the kingdom of God? So I took them outside. Didn't say a word. I just took them outside. I said, "We're at 41st Street. Let's walk to 51st Street." So we walked to 51st Street. This guy's out of his mind. What's he doing? He's not saying anything. We're just walking. Got to 51st Street. I said, "Let's turn around. Let's walk back to 41st Street. What is this guy doing? 10 blocks up, 10 blocks back, not saying nothing. I mean, is he crazy? I got better things to do than just walk up and down the block." We finally got back to 41st Street. I looked him in the eyes, and you know what I said to him? I said, "You want to know where the kingdom of God is? I used to be an alcoholic. Did you see me go into a liquor store? No, you didn't. I used to use drugs. Did you see me buy pot? No, you didn't. I used to be badly enslaved to pornography. Did you see me go into a peep show? No, you didn't. You want to know why? Because there is a king and a kingdom living inside of me, and it's growing stronger and stronger, and I am becoming everything God has destined me to become. That's where the kingdom of God is." And I want to tell you something. I don't take the devil lightly, but I do not fear him anymore. I do not fear the darkness of our culture anymore. I have found that the cross is enough to begin a good work in my life, and I'm changing from glory to glory every day of my life. And I know in my heart, as long as my focus isn't on how powerful the Saul generation looks, but my focus is on the power of the cross, nothing will stop me from fulfilling the destiny God has written over my life. I know it. I know in churches, oh, every Sunday morning, I know in churches there are just people that come and they flop down in pews and there's no worship in their heart. And they're saying, "I really don't wish I wasn't in church. I wish I could be somewhere else." But you know what? When I come to church on Sunday, I know the man I used to be. I know the slavery I used to be in. There's no other place I would rather be than with God's people, lifting my hands and saying, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You saved my life. You didn't just save me from my sin. You saved my life." I said it before. I'll say it again. If I didn't have Jesus in my life, I know how abusive I would be to my wife. I know how abusive I would be to my children, because I was an angry, angry, violent man. He didn't just save my life. When he saved me, he saved my life. He saved my marriage. He saved me. He saved my relationship with my family. He saved me in my generation. And I am so grateful to him. And I know in my heart, I don't have to live in fear of that culture. And as long as my focus isn't on how big the giant may look, but it's on the power of the cross, I will fulfill everything God has written over my life. And you will too. Amen. Now, I want to end by showing all of us our destiny as Christians. And I've used this scripture before, but it's just one of my favorites. I want you to go with me to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. I have to say, Brother Nick, I feel like we're tag team preaching. You preached on the Spirit last Sunday. I'm preaching on the cross this Sunday. That's God. The cross and the Spirit go hand in hand. Amen. I thank the Lord. Amen. Look at me at verse 13. Talking about Isaac. It said, and the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. Beloved, that's all of our destiny. Our destiny is to go forward in God and grow and become very great in the things of God. That's our destiny. Like Isaac, our destiny is to continually go forward in God, grow, and become very great in the things of God. And as long as we keep our focus and our faith and our trust in the power of the cross, in the victory Jesus won on the cross, nothing can stop us from fulfilling our destiny. Nothing. Amen. Stand with me this morning. This altar call this morning, it may be for many. It may just be for one. You know, only you and the Lord knows what's in your heart. But I do believe this morning the Lord wants someone to come into a rest. I believe this morning God is saying, you need to come with me to the sacrifice. You're standing in the wrong place, looking at the wrong thing. And you need to come back to the cross. Put your eyes, your faith, your trust, your hope back in the power of the cross. It is enough to keep you. And you're not just going to be kept. You're going to thrive and you are going to grow. And you are going to become everything that I have destined you to be. So my altar call is simply this. Maybe you're here today and you live in this fear of one day falling to the point where sin consumes you. Maybe you're here today and there's a fear in your heart that one day you're going to give in to the pressure and the pull of the darkness and the culture. And it's going to devour you. But God is calling you to take your eyes off the darkness and fix your focus and your faith and your trust in the power and the victory of the cross. And maybe you're here today and you've already fallen. You've already taken a fall and you've repented and you've made it right. But yet there's something in your heart that's saying, oh God, I just don't think I'm going to make it. I just don't think I'm going to be able to stand. God is saying to you, you are going to make it. And you're not just going to make it, you are going to thrive. You are going to become everything I've destined you to become. You don't have to be afraid of the darkness. Put your trust in the victory I already won for you when I died and rose again from the dead. Pastor Tim, I just need to come back to the cross. I'm in the wrong place, looking at the wrong thing. And I just need to get back over here to Calvary and look at the power and the victory of the cross. It is sufficient. It is sufficient. If that's you this morning, let's just come down to the altar and we'll say a word of prayer together. Before we have our prayer, let's just worship the Lord a minute. Let's just worship God a minute. Lord, Father, we don't take the devil lightly. We don't take his devices lightly. God, he is a real enemy that has such a stronghold over this generation. But yet, God, I thank you that we don't have to live in fear of him. God, we don't have to live in fear of the darkness. God, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And God, this morning in our hearts, you've called us to come with you to the sacrifice. Some of us have been standing in the wrong place, focusing on the wrong thing. And Lord, you've called us. I want you to leave that place of fear and anxiety where you're focused on the depravity of that generation. And I want you to come with me to Golgotha I want you to come with me to Calvary and put your eyes on the cross. When my son cried out from the cross, "It is finished," he meant everything that needed to be done to set you free from the power of sin has been done. And now all the graces that flow down from the cross, the life of the Spirit, resurrection power, all the graces that flows down to the cross is sufficient for every headless giant that stands before you. And God, I thank you. You're calling us supernaturally by a work of your Spirit, God. You're opening a prison door of fear. God, you're bringing us into a place of freedom. God, as long as we rest in the power of the cross and anchor our faith in the victory Jesus won on the cross, God, the destiny you wrote over our lives will be fulfilled. And I thank you. I thank you the world, the flesh, and the devil has nothing that can stop us from changing from glory to glory to glory to glory. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. And Lord, as we focus on the victory Jesus won at the cross, God, let the Holy Spirit fill us and reign in us. God, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. So God, I pray this morning that everyone in this altar would stand in a new place at the foot of the cross. Lord, knowing on the cross you bought every victory they will ever need. And that is where our focus is, God. And I thank you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And that is our focus, Lord. That is where we fix our faith. That is where we fix our trust, Lord. That on the cross, Lord, you disarmed the enemy and you disgraced the enemy. According to Colossians, Lord, blotting the handwritings that were against us, nailing it to the cross, you destroyed his power. You disgraced him. You made an open shame of him, triumphing over him in the power of the cross. And God, that is the place where we choose to stand, and that is the place where we choose to look, God. And Lord, as we believe, as you said in Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill us with joy and peace in believing that the cross was enough to change from glory to glory. Thank you. And Lord, as we leave here, let everyone walk out, Lord, with that mantle of peace on their heart this morning because they choose to believe. We thank you, God, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning.